The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast, the in-between rounds 3 and 4 edition. The Cats are 1 and 2, and fair to say, Kingy, I don't know, there's a number of thoughts about last Saturday night's performance, depending upon your outlook on life.
Yes, whether you're glass half full.
Whether you like to mow the grass north, south, or east, west. which way do you mow your grass?
I've actually never thought about it, to be honest.
A lot of people don't have any grass anymore, do they, King?
Seems to be that a lot of people go just with the bare arrangement out the back.
Absolutely.
Just the and out the front too.
The fake stuff. Yeah. So just nothing at all, King. You don't have to worry about it.
Very good.
Actually, you do. You've got to worry about that more. But anyway, we're digressing, King, early on, which is what we like. But look, it's the trains of thought that I've heard since Saturday night where it was a pretty good effort against the reigning Premier.
Yep.
Others will say, how do you cough up a 6-goal lead? I actually watched a little bit of the game, King, and it's easy to forget. But
well, you called it.
No, but I watched a bit of it during the week, and not all of it, but some of it. And, geez, those first 2 50-metre penalties that cost goals. They were the only 2 goals they kicked in the first quarter. Well, both from 50-metre penalties.
Correct.
That hurts.
It does. Yeah, just a lot.
I mean, they technically, and both wouldn't have been, I mean, I don't know if they would have ended up in goals, but the Rayner one, he was on the wing.
Yep.
And the first one, I forget who kicked it, but he was out, he was 60 metres out. He wasn't kicking a goal from where he was. So that absolutely kills you.
The first goal was kicked by Charlie Cameron.
That's right, from a 50 when he was nowhere within range of goal.
No,
that absolutely kills you. They've kicked 3, 4. The only 2 goals they kicked were from 50s. You've lost by 9 points. I mean, it's folly to suggest that you're going to have the momentum for the whole game against a team like Brisbane.
It's the inability to halt the momentum that has hurt them again. It's the third quarter against Freo.
Yep.
It's the first half against St Kilda.
Yep. And the third quarter against Brisbane.
Yep.
I mean, the last quarter, they probably were shaded in the last quarter, but not to the degree they were in the third quarter.
They still found a way to score.
They only had 4 inside 50s in the third quarter.
Do you know that was the first time Geelong, the third quarter, first time in 15 years Geelong hadn't scored in a quarter?
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. There's a good stat.
Yeah.
You've brought one early, King.
I have.
A Kerr's Hire stat.
That is.
I've got one too.
What have you got?
I've bought one.
Really?
It's not mine, but I did bring one.
Yeah, what is it?
So I was listening to a boffin.
A boffin?
Yes. Yeah,
there's a word that doesn't get used.
No, it doesn't.
Usually boffin goes with sort of education. He's a bit of a boffin.
He is. But, yeah, well, it is used often in sport, someone who knows their sport, which is not me, so I'm not a boffin. Yeah, but I'm going to turn in. I'm going to sound a bit like a boffin. So I listened to a bozo on...
a bozo who's a boffin or a boffin who's a bozo?
Yeah, he's a both. He's a bozo slash boffin right. From Champion Data. Now, I lost all faith in Champion Data some time ago. And I have to tell you a quick story. So I was driving along, and you'll be able to tell me, Kingy, what year was Jack Higgins drafted to Richmond?
Oh, I'm guessing 2017.
Okay, so let's say it's 17. It's 17, 18, somewhere around there. I'm driving along. It's pre-draft, and there's some discussion about the draft. And a person who will remain nameless, who went and actually worked from Champion Data, went to an AFL club, got on and was talking as they did about the draft and, you know, that we've crunched the numbers and all this sort of stuff. And he suggested on Champion Data's numbers that Jack Higgins should have been the number one draft pick. Now
he was pick 17 in 2017.
I nearly drove off the road. Like, he's a good player, but if you're taking Jack Higgins as a number one, but that was on Champion Data's metrics. So I sort of fell out of love with Champion Data because I know they're trying to be what Pro Football Focus is equivalent to the NFL, which is owned by Chris Collinsworth, who's the Sunday night analyst, former Bengals wide receiver. But NFL is so much easier to chart from a stat perspective.
Yep.
AFL isn't. Anyway, long story short, a boffin slash bozo suggested that from the last 50 games for the Cats, and some people have probably seen this, it was on one of you, it was, I think it might have been on Triple X. From the last 50 games, the time in possession is, for most games, is 41% one team, 41% the other.
And 18.
And 18%
in dispute.
Up for grabs.
Yep.
I think was the expression that he used.
Right.
So when Geelong keep the opposition, when they win the time of possession, or are better than the league average in time and possession,
they win.
From the last 50 games, they are 23 and zip.
Yep.
When they don't when they lose the time of possession, which they did badly against St Kilda in the first half and badly against Brisbane in the second half, when they lose the time of possession or the opposition is slightly above the average,
above the 41.
League average,
yep.
They're 2-21, yeah, I think, wow. Or 2-25.
Yeah, wow.
So I don't think it's all that simple, but my point to that is that it's all about Geelong's pressure.
Yep.
It can drop off for whatever reason. It's not steady. I mean, I'm looking at Hawthorn and GWS right now. They played a cracking game, which was right off Broadway on Saturday night.
Yep.
It was only two goals of difference in the end. But their pressure is relentless. It has been for the first start of the season. Every quarter, there's not much of a drop off.
Geelong are picking and choosing.
Geelong are dropping from here to here.
Yeah.
And it's hurting them. It's absolutely hurting them. And games like St Kilda, I mean, it's okay to go up to Brisbane and lose by 9 points. Mm. I mean, you come out of that game and you're thinking, how good was Connor O'Sullivan?
Mullen
was justified his pick. Well, yep. I mean, we lamented that in the lead-up and said, how could he be possibly getting a game? He actually played quite well. Who else was there? I thought...
Bowes improved.
Bowes played better. I thought, he made a few mistakes. Jai Clark's got to clean some of that up, but I thought he was okay.
I got a sneaking suspicion Jai Clark's not playing tomorrow night.
Why is that?
Well, I watched the captain's run, and he wasn't amongst them.
Right. Well, yeah. That would give you an indication. Yeah. And the coach wouldn't have had any idea about him not being there either.
I didn't ask about him because but there was other questions asked at the media conference today. And
so he might be injured.
Individual programs. That wasn't mentioned. Mitch Nevitt is. Mitch Nevitt's got a plantar fascia. He won't play. That's a precaution. Right. If it was later in the season, he'd probably play through it. But this time of year, not going to risk it.
Maybe that's the reason why they made him the sub.
No, it wasn't. So that was Chris Scott was very quick to point that out. That's not the reason why he was.
Well, I thought that was a very strange decision to make a 193-centimeter big-bodied midfielder the sub on a night where it suits 193-centimeter big-bodied midfielders.
I think Jai Clark needs to go back to the VFL for a couple of games,
possibly
find a bit of the footy, and then
possibly. Yeah, I'm sort of torn because I think I'd love to see him just work his way through it because I think he's got the talent too. But yeah, I can see the other side of the coin where he probably does. Well, I mean, what are you bringing in is the thing. I mean, who are you bringing in?
Well, Stuart and Manor.
Stuart and Manor, yeah, I'm happy there.
Yeah, are both captain. Well, I'd say the two changes are Stuart and Manor for Nevitt and Clark.
Yeah, well, I'm disappointed for Mitch Nevitt because I thought he's been pretty good. Mm. And I was disappointed that I thought the conditions would have suited him perfectly on Saturday, and I don't know why he was the sub.
Yeah.
So O'Connor... Well, he played, didn't he? He came in for Stewart. So I'm trying to think of a couple of... someone else. There was O'Connor. You mentioned Bowes. Who else was there? A couple of the younger players were pretty good. Humphreys was okay. Looked tired late, as you'd expect. But he was good. So there's
Closey was solid enough.
There's things you can take from the game that you say they're huge positives. The losing to St Kilda...
Yep.
Is frustrating. And it's very frustrating.
And it's the one that's going to come back and bite him on the bum at the end of the year.
Difference between finishing fifth or third.
Tomorrow night's massive.
They'll beat Melbourne.
They will. Before going to Adelaide to play the Crows.
Yeah, they won't be. They might struggle there.
And then the Hawks on Easter Monday.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Geelong going to be 2-4?
Well, if somebody gave me a pineapple kingy and I was punting on it.
Yep.
I'd say yes, but footy has a strange way of pulling your strides down really low, sort of to the levels where Lee Matthews likes to pull his pants down when he goes to the urinal, like a little kid, right down to the grand kingy.
Yes.
The only problem with that is that there's things on the grand you don't
I know what you're saying.
But you don't want...
You don't want your Murray Reds
to be in some sort of... You know, follicles that aren't great, do you? You just wouldn't want that.
No.
You wouldn't want that on anyone.
Well, I love that. We were both on the Alex Rance.
Murray Rance.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, the Murray Rance. There's the other one is Alan Mance.
Yes.
The car dealer.
Yeah. There's plenty of them, King.
What was he? Don't lose your shirt, don't lose your pants, don't take a chance, go to
Alan Mance. Yes, that's right. Oh, there's heaps of those.
Old school.
So... So there's plenty to take. Just thought, the St Kilda one is going to gnaw away. I think Geelong, Melbourne are in a little bit of trouble. They got absolutely spiffed.
But if there's a game though if that quartet in the middle, if Gorn gets hold of De Koning and
which is likely,
and then Oliver Petrarca,
I just don't know that they've got enough firepower. You bring Stewart back into that defence; it's pretty solid. Is Lever back?
I'm not sure.
That'd be a big out. If he comes back, it would. Strengthen up their defense significantly.
Because there was three blokes last week that were as useless as the proverbial.
Yeah.
Cameron.
Well, he's had a poor start, I'd say.
Stengel.
Well, he played badly on the weekend. I think he's been the worst in the other game.
I don't reckon Brad Close is going great.
No, he's not.
And I'll tell you, I reckon Brad Close, if Ollie Wiltshire continues, so I've been reliably informed Wiltshire is not playing tomorrow night. There is some whisper going around that he will, but he's not. He'll be in the VFL. VFL 2, by the way, Benny at 350. I reckon the spot that Wiltshire might be eyeing off is Brad Close's.
Well, that'd be a big call to reply a first game to replace a bloke who's premiership player, be around the block, you're three games in. I don't know if you want to...
Well, at least he's not three games in. This might be four, five,
yeah,
six.
I don't know if
I would think...
If he has two more quiet ones, yes, but
yeah.
Not right now.
Yeah.
Not right now.
Yeah. If he was no good tomorrow night, no good against Adelaide...
He plays in a position where it can be very difficult to impact. I know it's easy. That's just a throwaway line, but that's the reality. Mm. And he's playing a different role to that of a Grind Myers who gets right up the ground.
Has Jeremy Cameron played a worse game for Geelong?
No, he was nowhere. No, he wasn't.
Ollie Henry wasn't great either.
No, he kicked the first goal and then he went into witness protection, Kingy, unfortunately.
So combined...
He's had two stinkers. Ollie Henry will play... You're not dropping Ollie Henry.
No, he will win
you a game.
No. But combined, Stengel, Henry, Cameron and Neil had a combined between them 32 possessions for the game and kicked two goals, one. Out of your four probably most potent forwards. Actually, I reckon they're your four leading goal kickers from last year, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe Neil was five or six.
It's been an indifferent start. I don't know that they've had anybody really that... Can you think of anybody... I could think of Lawson Humphreys, perhaps, who's been a good, solid contributor in basically the 12 quarters to long
ago. Holmes has probably played nine.
Yeah, he's played okay.
Zach Guthrie.
Yeah, you're right. Zach Guthrie's been good.
Zach Guthrie, I said last week Lawson Humphreys was winning.
You know the other one who's not going? The other one who's been average? And we said it might happen? Ollie Dempsey.
Yep.
He had six touches, I reckon, to a quarter time.
Yep.
And he touched the ball six times for the remainder of the game.
Yep.
Playing on the wing.
Yep.
Got to. If you're getting playing on the wing, you have to get a bit of the ball.
Jack Henry, key defender, has had more possessions than Ollie Dempsey.
He's the other one that's been good.
Yep.
He's played well across basically every game.
So Jack Henry didn't train with the main group. Well, that'd be a massive loss. It's captain's run, but Chris Scott's out. His words were, he's fine. He was having his foot, like, and obviously when you see Ollie Henry having Jack Henry having his foot worked on, you get worried because he's had foot issues.
What about Neil?
No, Neil's right. No, Neil moved okay.
Right. So yeah, he just had a light twinge, did he?
Yeah.
Of the ankle.
Yeah. So we obviously saw him in the moon boot coming home.
Love a moon boot. Why do they call it a moon boot? Can you explain to me why?
Because nobody goes to the moon wearing
it. No, so why? I've never seen,
because it looks like the boots that they wear when they go on the moon. But did they?
Is that what it is? Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me Buzz Aldrin
walked in something similar shape
to the moon boot,
similar design,
right?
I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, Buzz.
That's if they did walk. Oh, conspiracy.
Do you think
theory?
They did it at Universal? It happened at Universal Studios.
Yeah.
I'm sure it did as well.
Anyway, no, I'm not going down that rabbit hole right now. There's some guys there. I thought it was interesting they subbed DeConing out when Neil was clearly struggling and Brisbane were basically setting up their defence on Harris Andrews, knowing that, well, this bloke's not going very well. So at every opportunity...
Well, Payne was the one who played on Shannon Neil.
Yeah, but...
He played equally as well.
But it freed Andrews up as well.
Yeah.
Not because Andrews then didn't have to worry about floating
back.
Well,
Sam DeConing was going like a proverbial, unfortunately.
Yeah, but maybe you needed to...
And he might have been injured. He got cramp.
Yeah.
He had a bad cramp, which is not great, round three. But
is he going back into defence?
Gorn will tear him apart.
Stanley's not playing, by the way. Chris Scott said not this week for Stanley.
Right, so they're going to go. The coach is way too stubborn to run the white flag up the pole after three games and suggest that Sam DeConing isn't really cut out to be a ruckman unless he's playing on what's his name Reed from Fremantle every week.
Reedy.
Is it Lockie Reedy?
Yeah.
Yeah, unless he's playing on him every week, we can have him in the ruck. As soon as he gets anybody who has any sort of ability in the ruck, he struggles, unfortunately.
So the Cats will make at least two changes. That is confirmed.
Yeah, well, I'm happy with those two changes you said then. Manor is a good inclusion.
Because he'll go into the midfield as well, I suspect, at times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he's had an he's been. But
they've probably, built him up, though, to get to this point. Rather than bring him back and just play him as a forward, get another hit out in, you know, full game under his belt last week at VFL level, albeit against the Bulldogs. A good sign of that was Manor was on top of the ground at the end of that game. He basically won Geelong that match in the VFL last week. So that tells you he's running out.
He's strong late.
Yeah, he's strong late.
Are you strong late?
No, I'm strong.
When actually, do you do your best stuff?
I'm not even strong.
When do you do your best stuff?
When do I do my best
stuff? Is it mid-race? Or is it sort of late? When you,
no, you are an idiot.
Do you get out of the gates quick?
You are an idiot. Well, you know that I'm not built for speed. I'm not built for speed.
What are you built for, King?
I'm not built for much, to be honest.
What are you built for?
I'm probably... do you know what?
You like
if they bring back the somebody needing to be Norm on a life being a dad, I'm probably...
You're built like a sort of a 70s brand Cortina, aren't you? Just one of those ones you hit and it doesn't move.
I'm reliable.
Do you know if a 70s brand Cortina cleaned up a Yaris today, do you know he'd come off second best?
The Yaris. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, those things were built to last.
Oh, the Cortina wouldn't have a mark on it.
Nah, built to last.
All it needed was just a turret at the top with a gun and you could have just whipped it over to Ukraine.
So the Demons have plenty to play for, because if they go to 0-4...
Yeah, I know, but how often can you say they got plenty to play for? They had plenty to play for last week and they got beaten by 10 goals. They had plenty to play for the week before and lost. They did play very well in the opening round against GWS.
It's amazing how one result, like if they win that game, how your season...
Well, they obviously had set themselves for that. Their pressure was good. They did do well. It was a slippery game that day. It was a slippery conditions, but they played well. So... they've put all their eggs in that basket and they've come up short. Old Lachie Keefe kicks a goal with 30 seconds to go from a set shot. Hasn't kicked a goal from a set shot since Jesus got subbed out for Jerusalem. And they've gone downhill since. I mean, what are they, round two, they got pizzled as well, didn't they? By someone?
Who did they play in round two?
Oh, I forget, but I know they. Oh, I'm pretty sure they lost quite heavily.
They played the Hawks, did they, in round two?
Did they play the Hawks? No, I don't think they did.
Who did they play?
No, I think they played the Hawks.
Let me just... Oh, North Melbourne.
And lost.
Yep.
They got beaten by 10 goals in that game as well.
Yep, they did. Yeah, 59. So they've gone 59 and 58 in the last 2 weeks.
That's not good form. So just to say, oh, they've got everything to play for, well, sometimes that doesn't work for you. It just puts more pressure on you and you're the poorer you play. They have got a good midfield, which concerns me a little bit, because Geelong, if there's two issues with the Cats, one is that their pressure fluctuates wildly, and the other one is that the midfielders... The gun midfielders from the opposition tend to touch the ball a lot, like a lot. So we had against St Kilda, it was McRae and Windhager. I just like saying Windhager. even Rowan Marshall had it 29 times. And then last week, Will Ashcroft had it 33 times. Who else? McCluggage seemed to have it on a string. The only one who didn't play that well was or didn't get a huge amount of it was Lachie Neale. Yep. Tommy Atkins did a reasonable job on
20 disposals in the end.
Yeah,
he
didn't,
most of them
didn't
after
have much of an impact.
But most of them after halftime.
Who was on top? Who
Atkins wasn't on him.
Who was so? Ashcroft had 33. Who else was there?
Yeah, Will Ashcroft 33. Zorko had 28. Dunkley had 26.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they're the three. Well, especially Zorko and.
You got a 36-year-old having it 28 times.
Now half back.
Eight rebound 50s.
He was enormous in the
third.
In the third, yeah. Geelong just stopped to walk. But
you know, Lachie Neale's never polled a Brownlow vote against Geelong,
hasn't he? Well, he won't be polling one on Saturday night, which is interesting.
It's incredible that how many times he played against the Pussycats. He's played against them 19 times, and it'll be 20, and he won't have polled a Brownlow vote against them. And the next lowest is Freo. Well, actually, he's never polled one against Brisbane when he played at Freo, and against Freo, he's polled 5.
He's polled.
Yep.
How many of you polled?
Brownlow votes? Not many, Benny. All right. Questions?
Yeah, I
think we should move on. KFCX. Chris Quinet, as a strong believer that Mullen isn't up to it yet, it was nice to see him contribute. Neale injury really hurt us, especially with Jez MIA. Don't understand why Nevitt was a sub in the first place, and secondly, why it took so long to get him into the game.
Yes, I agree with all that.
Yep. Written, spoken and authorised by. Dave Twist, the last 2 weeks have been a mix of optimism, Kingy, and pessimism, Benny. Geelong played football no one could compete against, but also played non-competitive football. The question is why such a contrast in performance, and how can this be fixed before it turns into a nightmare?
Well, that's a good point. That's what we've spoken about. I even said that after the first game where you had contrast from three quarters compared to one quarter against Freo.
It's the inability to stop the momentum.
Yeah, to stop the momentum. And I think that is a huge... The blame or a big portion of the blame perhaps stems from the midfield and the forwards, not so much the defenders. I think the midfield, when they're going poorly, are not great and they get pizzled. And the opposition players get way too much of it. Ball comes into the forward line at a million miles an hour or Geelong's back line. It's very difficult to stop. I mean, if the ball's being moved swiftly like it was on, even in slightly slippery conditions on Saturday night, there's not much you can do as a defender.
No.
I mean, it's the pressured kick that goes 1,000 metres into the air that you can defend. It's not the ball whizzing through it. You know, bloke's run 15, kicked it 50 to bloke on the lead. There's not a lot you can do about that. So the midfield, I think, it falls away quite quickly when they fall away. You've got to remember, too, Patrick Dangerfield is only going to play in bursts.
Yep.
He's not going to be a four-quarter player.
So in the midfield.
In the midfield.
Yep.
So take him out of the midfield, and if Max Holmes is being shut down at all, then what else is there? There's some plotters. You've got to, you know... Tommy Atkins is a very good plotter, but he's a foot soldier.
Yeah.
You know, Jack Bowes is just going. He's a foot soldier. He doesn't have any great burst. You know, Mitch Nevitt is a young player. I wouldn't be putting too much on his shoulders. Who else have we got there, Kingy?
Well, Smith. He's got
to play. Bailey Smith. He's one that probably needs to stand up. He was okay. And you've got, you know, Ollie Dempsey who's struggling out on a wing. So
I think, Matt, you'll find Manor spend some time up on the ball.
Well, let's hope that happens, King. He might give us a little bit of zip and a bit of clean hands and a bit of, you know, extrication from a stoppage. Have you ever extricated from a stoppage?
Adrian Mancini, King and Cass, we look like a young team who loses its way in game, then needs a pit stop to reset and go again. It's becoming a pattern.
Yep, I agree. And they've got to find a way to be able to clog things up on the run when things aren't going their way.
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Kingy and Cass, what is it with third quarters and us? We just seem to slump. Kingy, who do we get back this week? Well, we have talked about Manor and Stewart. A
couple of handy ins.
Only positive is that we are seeing the younger players go through. Is it me or does Zach Guthrie not get said how good he is, or is he one of our most underrated players?
Oh, I think he's perhaps underrated by those outside of Geelong, but I think most Geelong supporters know how good he is. I mean, if he was one of the few that stood up in the third quarter. Mm. The rest of them fell apart. He actually took a couple of cracking marks that saved goals. He's just an outstanding, steady, reliable, plays with poise, good kick, keeps his feet, can play tall or small. I was standing just off him at the airport on the way home.
Taller than you thought?
Yeah.
Yep.
Heaps taller than you think.
So what do you reckon he is?
I'd say he'd have to be... I'd say it'd be 188, 189.
Close, 187.
Yeah. Yep. What's that, 6'2"?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, he's a lot taller than you think. And you know who else is taller than you think? Mm-hmm. He's Jack Henry. He was taller than Zach Guthrie.
191.
Yeah, he's...
6'3".
He's a bit of a mountain of a man, old Jack Henry.
Marky Mark, the lamp, was the humidity enough to affect the players? Well, we spoke to Zach Guthrie about it, and he did say that those conditions were more oppressive than what they...
It's moist, wasn't it?
Yep. Well, you're looking at 100, best part of 100%.
Yeah, well, I mean, you are, Kingy. If you're not used to the moisture, then you can fall victim to it, Kingy.
Premiers, we all know Jezza Cameron has had a laid-back style, but is he picking and choosing when to go?
I don't know if he's picking and choosing. He's just not playing well.
He seems to be playing for that wow highlight too much. Thoughts about making Nevitt the sub won't happen, but I think Neil and SDK should swap positions. Neil has more physicality. Well, DeCarney's not a forward.
DeCarney's not a forward, and Shannon Neal, you want him to become a key pillar for you up forward. You don't want him to be running around in the ruck. I probably do agree that he's probably better equipped to play in the ruck than Sam DeCarney, who I just argue is not really a ruckman. They're trying to make him a ruckman, and they're going to keep doing that because that's my gut feel anyway.
Him, third quarters are just putrid from this side at the moment. Obviously cost us a prelim in nearly all three games this year. Is it mentally being comfortable, the youth this side has now, or other sides adjusting to what we do and we can't arrest it or change it quick enough? It's probably a little bit of...
Probably a little bit of...
A, all, B, C and D. A, B and C.
All of the above.
Yeah.
Mm. It's just, it is frustrating. I mean, 20 inside 50s to 4 and 4 goals 3 to nothing. Mm. Having been... 6 goals up on that team in the previous 60 minutes. Mm. I mean, some would say then that Geelong dominated Brisbane in the second quarter. I mean, they dominated Brisbane for most of the first half.
Should have been further.
250s cost them a goal in the first quarter. Mm. And did they kick one?
They kicked one late.
That was the last.
It was from a free
kick. And that was a crucial goal. It just arrested the momentum.
And I said that. I said, I reckon that goal might be a real key in this game.
Yeah.
Teddy G, I think while the game was still winnable, I would have preferred a tiring De Koning in the forward line rather than an injured Shannon Neal.
Well, he must have been pretty bad. And I don't think he's really a forward. I mean, if Shannon Neal's bobbed up today and he's fine, and he did, I know he was slightly hampered, but it wasn't like he was limping around like he had a big stone in his shoe. He was hampered to a degree, but he came back on and moved okay. He played on a pretty good player, and he did get outpointed a number of times.
Marshall, zero benefit playing SDK in the ruck, regressing rapidly. At this point, neither targeting a ruckman and or drafting young ruckmen who are not ready is peak arrogance. Some players in our forward line need to harden up and lift, unable to even contest and bring the ball to ground. I don't think they were expecting that Toby Conway was going to do himself a mischief in bed.
No, it's a good spot to do it, though, Kingy. If I'm sort of thinking of my demise, I'd like it to be in bed, Kingy. That's where I'd like it to be. But
Arngold, can you go into a level of detail about where the team sits in the competition with regards to median age and how that may explain the lumpiness of the performance? Well, Geelong is certainly younger than it has ever been. Well, it's still not ever been, but
it's still got a lot at the top end. There's not. I mean, they probably have got a lot in between now. Mm. Close, Stengel, Myers, Ollie Henry's heading that direction. Jack Henry. I mean, Ollie Dempsey's probably still young. Who else have we got there, Kingy, that's that mid 23, 4, 5, 6?
Yeah. No, Nevitt's
Zach Guthrie.
Nevitt's getting towards 23.
Lawson Humphreys. I know he's still a young.
22, I think, Lawson.
Yeah.
De Koning's nearly 23.
Yeah, so they do have a bit in that mid bracket. And then the
actually, De Koning's 24.
Yeah, so they've got a bit in that mid bracket. They've got probably 8 or 9 of their best 20.
Yep.
Who are in that bracket? Then you've got at the other end Cameron Dangerfield,
Blitzers.
And then you've got the guys that drops away to Clark.
Did you mention Myers?
O'Sullivan, yeah, Myers is in there. Yeah, so yeah, look, I wouldn't say with that demographic of team that would be an excuse for the disparity in performance from quarter to quarter and game to game. I wouldn't be saying that. They've got enough in there that's high level and then mid level that they're not playing with 8 blokes who have played less than 40 games. Mm. They're playing with a few, but not 8.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be using that as an excuse. They've got enough there to be a more consistent unit.
KFC X those questions off the Big Footy Cat Attack podcast thread. Cat to the future. Gentlemen, I may never fully recover from watching that one slip through our hands. Wasn't that bad. Has there been any indication of a time frame for Nessie to be sighted in the seniors? I miss him dearly. He's still TBC.
Well, like, he, you know more than me, but I mean, as long as he doesn't go to bed or get out of bed or breathe or do anything that's, you know, even...
He might need to become the bubble boy.
Drive a car or maybe to see him going to training in one of those bubbles where they just roll him so nothing can touch him. But I don't think he's on the horizon anytime soon, is he?
No. Two, absolutely not. Dangerfield upsetting the forward line balance. He plays as a marking target, but so does Cameron, Neil, Henry. Can you only play one of him and Henry at a time? Can Henry play on the wing?
Ollie Henry. He possibly could. He's a very good athlete, according to Zach Tui, who said he's athletically he's very gifted.
Well, the Henry, all the Henry.
Yeah, just running. I don't think so. I think he's way too dangerous. Look, I know he's had a couple of quiet games, but geez, cut him some slack. He's a very dangerous player close to goal, and he's the bloke who'll come out on Friday night and kick 3 or 4. So I don't think you want that sort of player playing up the ground where he's wasted in some respects because he's not used to playing that and he's a very dangerous... The guy who does that really well is Guy Myers.
Yep.
For a smallish forward, he doesn't kick a huge amount of goals, but he links the backs and the forwards because he's got an ability to run. So, I don't think you want to play Ollie Henry up the ground.
Yep. Should we have subbed Neil when he did his ankle and sent SDK forward?
Well, I don't think so because he came back on and he seemed to move okay. I wouldn't have thought so. Not off the injury anyway.
Was there any specific reason Ollie Henry and Ollie Dempsey went home at halftime?
Yeah, they were... they unfortunately had poor ones. Ollie Dempsey's had a sluggish start to the year, mm-hmm. I would say.
Clark has flashes of brilliance and disappears for large tracts of time, 63% time on ground. Is he fit enough to play seniors? Is the club doing any additional work to get his endurance
up? Is this Jai Clark?
Yep.
I like Jai Clark. Maybe I'm flying headlong into unsafe waters here, Kingy, but seemingly the Cat fans are getting, there's a little bit of unrest. I like Jai Clark. He's very young. He's, what, third-year player? His first year.
Yep.
Effectively a second-year player who's played, what, less than 20 games?
Yep.
Yeah, just relax. Can he play better? Yes. Does he need to play better? Yes. Is he a hard worker from what we understand? Yes. Is he getting the best out of himself? Yes. Has he got the talent around the ball? I would say yes.
Yep.
He needs to the game will slow down for him the more he plays. Yep. He just rushes things a bit at the moment and it goes a bit pear-shaped for him. But I think if you just give him a little bit of time, we had this discussion about Jimmy Bartel 20 years ago. Cat fans saying, got to move him on. He's no good. He's too slow. He doesn't defend. Look what happened there.
Mullen, is it time to stop bashing him or do we just pause until he has a bad game scapegoat style?
Yeah, he did. Look, he justified his spot, which was good. So
but that's one. That's one.
Yeah, he needs to back it up now. He needs to and what you want to see, King, is not necessarily him star. It's probably not going to happen. But you just like to see him close the gap on his best and his worst. At this stage, his best is okay. It's serviceable. It's giving the team something. It's justifying him holding his spot. His poor is absolutely non-existent. He's A, getting goals kicked on him, and B, doesn't touch the ball. So just closing that gap. Let's hope he can do that the more he plays.
Was Nevitt the correct sub to choose? His endurance would have been helpful, and his height and contested marking could have made him useful as a defensive forward when Neil jarred his ankle and Henry was off with
and
the fairies.
And his big body around the ball would have helped as well. So I'll just scratch my head, Kingy, and scratch other regions as well at the same time.
Where did Coleman medalist Jeremy Cameron go?
Yeah, we've spoken about him. He needs a London fog lift.
And am I just whinging too much?
Possibly. But we love a good footy whinge.
Dudas Maximus, everything.
Oh, Dudas.
Yeah, has just pointed up to the post above, which was the one that we just got from Cats of the Future. But then said, if I could come back for seconds, I understand 666 and momentum. Cats players gloat about flexibility to make changes themselves in game. I'm sure MC and Professor Scott, no disrespect, have all countering opposition momentum scenarios mapped out. Why do Cat players still get caught gazing at the headlights, especially within quarters? We have touched on it a bit.
Well, we have, yeah. Gazing in the headlights, yes. Have you ever gazed into anything, Kingy?
Howler 41, hard not to be disappointed with the loss. If you told me we'd fly north and lose by under 10 points, I would have thought we'd had a real crack, Plumber style.
And we did.
But to be 5 goals up, then not fire a shot in the second half, disappointing.
Yes.
Making Nevitt the sub after a positive start of the season was a bit like a pint of Guinness. It doesn't sit well with me.
Yes, although I do like the Guinness.
Can you split the G?
Yeah, I've tried, but it's a very difficult thing to do.
Ford-like wasn't great, but 14 inside 50s and a half makes it tough. For that reason, I'm happy with the back line. The famous TV show O'Sullivan and Mullen were really good. Henry and Guthrie in the same boat. Manor dominated the VFL, should immediately return. He will. Hopefully Stewart also. He will. Hopefully Neil's footy's okay. It is. Once again, some Geelong supporters calling for his head need to be booked in for a frontal lobotomy. Must win versus
love a
the
frontal.
D's.
Love a frontal lobotomy. Cats need to, look back home will help. I'd be staggered, Kingy, if Geelong can't get over Melbourne.
Yep. The Ranger. Don't know who booked the plane flight home at halftime, but clearly it wasn't the right move. I was at the game and it looked a different team after the break. Sure, they had the same numbers on their back, but that's where the similarity stopped. Skills fell away, rebound targets disappeared. I think our defence was still holding well, but we gave them no help with most rebounds coming back. We talk about it being hard to stop momentum, but from my seat, our midfield and forwards were no longer leading, just trailing behind their opposition.
Yeah, that's what I said before.
How do you stop the momentum when you don't make a target? We get to defensive 50, have nothing to kick to. The few times we were inside 50, our mids were behind and they had targets to exit much easier. Thinking out loud, as dangerous as that is, did the Lions shut down our switch targets and therefore make existing positional plays obvious? Maybe we always position this way and to lull them into a false scent and then rely on the switch to get free. I can't watch the replay to check this theory.
Jeez.
There's a lot there from the Ranger.
It's sort of like a press conference arrangement.
That's almost done.
I do agree. The swiftness with which the Brisbane were able to use the ball through the midfield suggests that there was, in the third quarter particularly, would suggest that there's a breakdown from the Cats, whether the work rate's there, whether the ball was rebounding. And that's, I mean, a lot of this stuff is generated from halfback. He's right there. So are your forwards working hard enough to trap the ball in or put pressure on the kick coming out? Because, I mean, at one stage, old Brucey Revel, when he came on, he just launched through the middle of the Gabba with nobody within about 20 metres
of
him.
Couple of bounces.
Yeah. So
And the guy and the goal he kicked was nice too.
Was, yeah. That, I mean, we just got opened up way too much, and a lot of that was the rebound off half-back, which set them up through the midfield. Now, I don't know. And as I said, I think it's – and I agree. I think our defence actually held up pretty well, given the weight of ball that was against them. But you've got to find a way to actually shut that off. And yeah, I'd be – if I was pointing any sort of fingers, I'd be pointing fingers at the forwards and the midfielders.
Fox Dog 50, gents, Geelong's reporting on injuries time frame is Scheisenhausen.
Yeah, it always has.
Well, it used to be worse. When they remember they went that short-term, medium-term, long-term? I think that was Simon Lloyd.
Yeah. And what do you know what happened to him? he ended up counting coins in the cash department, then out the door.
What time frame would you expect Loch Ness Conway will come back playing? They don't know.
No.
Our forward line needs a good old Malcolm Blight rev up. I honestly don't know which player in there I would say they has earned a pass mark for their start to the year. That's a really good point. Actually, I don't reckon you'd have anybody in that. Myers has been pretty good.
Well, he's had some quiet. He had a really quiet half against St Kilda in the first half.
But other than that, been okay.
Yeah, I reckon he was even pretty quiet. Was he quiet in the second half?
Yep.
He's probably the one that's nearing something resembling a reasonable effort across three games. Yep. The rest of them, I think you. And I'm cutting Shannon Neal some slack. I think he's. I don't think you can judge him like you can judge a Jeremy Cameron or a Close or a Stengel or a Myers, or even an Ollie Henry. So I'm prepared to cut him some slack. He just needs to play. The more minutes he plays, the better he will get, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent.
Cats do it better. I love Scotty. He's clearly the best coach in the league, but it feels like there's a trend in games where we can seem to change a lot. We can't change a lot in matches. We have the blitz halves in the ruck move and danger in the middle, but that's all we seem to get. Surely we need to try some other options up forward the last 2 weeks. Jezza was in no man's land, and none of their other forwards could provide a target. We could have tried someone else up forward like DeConing, Blitz, or Henry. Henry Jr. needed to either get dangerous or lead Andrews away from the ball. Is this issue with not being able to stop opposition momentum an on-field issue, lack of on-ground leadership, or too much inexperience on the field? We have.
I don't think it's the bottom one.
No.
No, I think it's a bit of mechanisms, and I don't know exactly what they are. Maybe man up would be good, but mechanisms in terms of the midfield and the forwards. But yeah, I'm not buying the inexperience thing. Mm. I think the inexperienced players actually play quite well.
Mm. Daz Broncos last off the rank, back to earth with a thud. Granted, losses by 9-7 aren't the end of the world, but we need to find a way to play four quarters, and what's causing those losses is the issue for mine. Inconsistent effort, a killer. Good news is SDK signed. Yes, 2-year deal.
Yep. Lawson Humphrey's out of contract, is he?
No, Humphrey's got an extra one.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he was right for next year. Yeah.
Because his girlfriend's still in WA.
Okay.
Right, so he's getting the pull to come back in. Right.
Conway and SDK.
You ever had that pull to go anywhere?
Conway and SDK is a spine for at least the next 3 years. Can we get them all in the park at once and get them working together? Has the rising star put Ollie Dempsey on the opposition radar and he's now getting more attention each week? Absolutely.
Well, who said that?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, yeah. I said it'd be interesting to see how he goes this year.
But I actually asked that question of him too.
Yeah, and what did he say?
And he said, yeah, he was fully expecting that.
Well, and he's still, so that's fine, and he's struggled. That's good. He's got to work his way through it, and we think he's got the talent too. So if you think you're just going to turn up in AFL and all 250-year games are going to be absolute blinders, then you're an absolute, you need to have that frontal lobotomy that was suggested before, Kingy. So are we doing Hydro's Heroes, Kingy?
Yes, we are doing Hydro's Heroes. So the numbers today are 5.
No.
Weren't they 5, 15 and 29?
No, I think this week's numbers, I've been given them by Hydro, are 22
right,
and 23. So,
we're only doing two.
Yeah, we're only doing two, so we can't do three every week. So this is what we've got so far.
I thought we were getting four.
Hydro has provided me this. One is Wayne Kloster.
Yep.
Two is Tom Harley.
Yep.
Three, Jimmy Bartel.
Yep.
Four, Andrew Mackey. 11, Joel Corey. 14, Joel Selwood. 15, Peter Riccardi.
Yep.
18, Kent Kingsley. 27, Andrew Buse. 28, Tim Darcy. 33, Bruce Nankervis, and 35, Patrick Dangerfield.
Just from
scratch. So 12 of 46 complete, and this week we're only doing two, Kingy, so we're doing numbers 22 and 23. Just before, King, I've got a question that Hydro, or a little fun fact that he's posted.
Yeah, what's Hydro?
So fun fact, Kingy.
Fun fact.
Is that number 4?
Yep.
So there is only one of two in VFL AFL team where the jumper is passed from player to player. Through 4 players uninterrupted with a minimum of 100 games played.
Right.
Do you know what number that is for the Pussycats?
For the Pussycats.
Yeah.
Well, 21 seemed to do the rounds there for a while. Went from Yates.
Yeah, to Mansfield.
To Mooney.
To Murdoch. Did he get to 100? I think he did.
He did. Yeah, Yates.
So there's one of two. So this is the other one. This
so I was right with the 21.
Well, I don't know, but that's not on my sheet here, Kingy, but I think you are right.
So we went Yates, Mansfield,
yep.
Mooney,
Murdoch. And Murdoch got just to 100 before they left. And then, they.
Did he go to the Gold Coast?
Yeah, he went to Gold Coast and then he went into witness protection up there.
Was never seen.
He joined a bike.
Yeah, Murdoch played 108.
Right, yeah, well, he played it, yeah.
So the other number at the Cats.
Yes. So it's passed from four players uninterrupted, and they all played 100 games.
All right, four players uninterrupted.
Yeah.
Was it the number four?
Yes, Kingy.
Yep.
Do you know who they are?
I'd say went from Davis.
Yes, Kingy.
To Lord.
Yes. Did Hydro send you this text?
No, it went Davis, Lord.
Yes.
It finished with Bright.
Oh, yes, Kingy. Cheers. You're so close. You're so close.
Phil Stevens.
Oh, Kingy. You've gone straight to the top of the class. Davis, Lord, Stevens, Bright, number four, was passed to every player. Both all played 100. And, Kingy, that is extraordinary stuff from you. I would have more chance of organising, rearranging my sock drawer than getting that. So you've done very, very well there, Tom.
So what are our numbers today? 22 and 23.
22 and 23.
Is 22 a lay down, Mazair?
Well, I'm just trying to get this up, Kingy, because I'll have to get... it takes me a while to get going here.
Well, okay, so give you an...
You just pad.
I'll talk about the 22. So Mitch Duncan's played the most games. This is a 50-year period we're working, so yes. 75... to 2025. Mitch Duncan's played, obviously, 296 games.
One of my favourite players, the young players on this, King.
Bluey Hampshire.
Well, he wasn't, but yes.
Possum Jeffries, I'm guessing, was one of your favourites.
He was a high flyer, wasn't he? Yeah. He could really pull down a screamer, old Jeffries.
Came from?
Came from his mother's womb.
Thompson.
Did he?
Yeah.
Right.
Thompson actually had a good little run of...
The GDFL.
Well, they were in the... Well, it was GDFL.
What, we're not allowed to call it anymore, then, are we?
No, we're not.
we got in trouble.
Because Larry Donoghue was from Thompson
as
well.
Big as he was.
And he will come up when we talk about the 23.
Yes.
Yes.
It's pretty simple, this one, Kingy.
I think it's Mitch Duncan.
Henry, the other one was Henry Playfair.
Yes.
22. And good mates with Tom Lonigan.
And guess who fell just short of being in the discussion?
22. Paul Kouliriotis.
No.
He was 36. 22. Don't know.
Nealy.
Oh,
he played 48 games, but they weren't all in the 22. Because he started in the very heavy number of 55.
That's 55.
How many games did Nealy play?
He went 55 to 22.
Yeah, he started in the 50.
Henry Playfair.
Six games in the
55. Do you know what Henry Playfair, one of his claims to fame was?
Was?
Other than maybe playing for the Cats.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good friends with Tommy Lonigan, so I used to hear a few stories about old Henry Playfair.
Yes.
A very funny man. And his takeoff of Minnie the Moocher apparently is quite extraordinary.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
22 and 23, King.
23.
There's a bit to choose from here.
23.
Oh, there's one down the bottom there who's going to get it, but he was very... Josh Caddy.
Yep.
Former Gold Coast Sun first round pick.
Larry Donoghue did...
Big Laz was good.
He did his best work from 75 onwards, won the Coleman.
He was a gun. Liam Pickering was underrated from North.
Mm.
He was a very good player, Liam Pickering, sure-handed. The game back then suited him.
Yep.
He wasn't the quickest player. He had good sure hands and was good kick, handball.
He was Paul Couch light.
Yeah, he was a poor man's Paul Couch, yeah. Absolutely. But he was a very effective player when he was playing well.
Somebody you haven't mentioned in the call this year, who you usually used to mention quite a bit, played some very good football in the 23. Always.
Yeah, I've mentioned him a few times.
I don't reckon Mick Schultz has been mentioned.
Mick Schultz.
Hasn't been mentioned this year.
The golden fist.
Yep.
He's one of the world's great spoilers. He used to tape both hands together, wrists together, and then just come out and spoil like Billy O. So Mick, he'll come back in.
I reckon
There'll be... Stephen May will do a Mick Schultz like fist over the line on Friday night.
I think it's a coin toss between Larry Donoghue and Gary Rowan. The 23.
Do you think?
Yeah. And Rowan...
Well, Doug Wade doesn't get on there, does he?
No, because he was gone.
Big Doug. He would have got it.
Because in 75, he was at North Melbourne.
Right.
Kicking 100.
Well, that thins it out right out, Kingy.
Mm.
So
it's 75. So Doug Wade went left at the end of 72.
I'd have to say...
Rowan's qualifying final in 2022 almost gets him home for
me. No, not one game. Rarely going.
So he played 98 games. He kicked 120 goals playing in Starvation
Quarter. How many
goals
did a big Laz kick?
Larry kicked 339 from 105 starts.
Yeah, that's getting it. Yep. That's a pretty good effort. Okay. Three a game.
Yep.
That's a good effort.
Yep. Before, and where did he finish his career?
At the Winchelsea, at the bar at Winchelsea.
At he the actually pub there. Ended up in Fitzroy.
Did he?
Didn't play a senior game.
Yeah.
He ended up at the Roys.
Come and have one with the man who's kicked a ton.
Have one with one who kicked a ton.
Got the reddest schnoz on the planet.
1976, kicked 105 goals. And in 1978,
he was
95.
Good player, Laz.
Yep.
Good player.
And Geelong played.
10 fizz,
so the two years he kicked 100, the Cats played finals.
Yeah, he's good on the fizzy ones too, yeah. Old Laz.
So he kicked 1.5 in the 78 elimination final against Carlton.
Yeah, that wasn't his best day.
After coming off 7.4 the week before.
His radar went on the blip.
Yeah, and the Cats lost by 5 goals.
Yes.
If you haven't strained up. So 22, Mitch Duncan, or as Tom Longing likes to call him.
Hunky Dunky.
Hunky Dunky.
Yeah. He did video. He did capture some quality video in the hub, did Mitch. And we did see some of that footage. It was quite extraordinary.
Is, right. So. And the 23 is...
Yeah, he's a big Laz.
Leisure Suit Larry.
Yes, we love the bit of Laz. We look forward to Friday night, Kingy.
Yeah, see you, Benny. Oh, right. Hang on, before we go. Sorry. There's the motorcade.
Yeah.
Before the game.
Oh, yeah.
Zach Tui, Tom Hawkins, sort of a farewell for them.
Oh, yeah.
But they're actually doing...
Are we getting Tom on?
Well, if we send Jace down there with the microphone...
But you can't get him on the radio.
What do you mean?
Well, on to guest. Is it like get him on the phone? Surely the big man would come on.
No, Jace can go down with the mic... With the
but while he's going around the motorcade?
Yeah.
Oh, we want him on for longer than
that. Talking about one game wonder.
Yeah.
Sam Blees.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
From Melbourne?
Yep. Played one game for the Cats.
Yeah, right.
And Andrew Mackie's going to join us.
No, oh, yeah, he joins us every week.
And Nigel Lappin's going to join us too.
He's still there. God,
he is. No, wow. Sorry. Can I very quickly just go through this? So be in your seats by about 7 o'clock.
Yep.
So the 1925 premiership will have Georgie Rankin from the AFLW team because she's a direct descendant of Teddy Rankin, who played in that. The 31-37 will have Mel Hickey, former Geelong AFLW captain, who is a relative of Reg Hickey. 1951, Bill McMaster's daughters will be there for that, Bea and Fiona. Bill obviously passed away earlier this year. There'll be a member of Bob Davis's family, 52. Freddie Wooler.
Bobby Davis.
63. Freddie Wooler, the great Freddie Wooler. He's not late. He's still with us. Will be there.
He's never on time.
Joel Selwood representing the 07 premiership. Guess who's representing the 09 premiership?
09?
Yeah.
Stevie J.
No.
No, I don't know. Paul Chappie.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
He was a gun chap. He's one of my faves.
Do we need to pull Mytho's commentary out again?
He was an absolute gun. I don't care what anyone says.
Hawkins, the 2011 flag, and Zach Tui, the 2022. So that will be part of the motorcade tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing that as part of our pre-game, Benny.
Yes, I'm absolutely. I can't wait, King. The Cats get back on the winners list.
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kurz Hire, locally owned and operated for over 40 years.